Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and indeed the world. Is always the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, as always, they're standing by. 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I've been talking about this for some time, but it bears repeating. America's downward spiral is nothing short of breathtaking. You think of the popularization of the pill in the 60s. It had ramifications, ended up paving the way for the horror of Roe v. Wade in the 70s. And we can think of the implications of that today. 60 million as a number comes to mind. And then acceptance of same-sex sexuality in the 20th century has mutated into legalization of same-sex marriage in the 21st century. Ideas have consequences. And today, as I speak, the legalization of medical marijuana in many, many different states has morphed into legalization of recreational marijuana in many other states as well, like Alaska and Colorado and Oregon and Washington. But I think that there are very good reasons to reject the reefer culture. I've talked about them. To put it plainly, when smoking or eating pot, there's simply no objective way to control dosages of the psychoactive chemical that's inherent in marijuana. So by and large, what people do is partake until they achieve a subjective sense of high. The danger, of course, being that feel is hardly real. But there is another issue that I want to bring to your attention, and that is the psychological problems which have been well documented. Problems like diminished cognitive function, memory impairment, psychotic episodes, sleep deprivation. The physical maladies can range from cardiovascular disease to detectable alterations in the structure and chemistry of the brain. And that's not just blowing smoke. The reason I bring that up today is because scientists from the University of Western Australia have identified how using cannabis can actually alter a person's DNA structure, causing mutations which can expose them to serious illness and not only that, but be passed on to their children and future generations. Think about those implications. Stuart Reese and Gary Hulse from UWA's School of Psychiatry and Clinical Sciences completed this extensive analysis of literary and research material. And they found that cancers and illnesses were likely caused by cell mutations resulting from cannabis properties having a chemical interaction with a person's DNA. And although a person may appear to be healthy, maybe even lead a normal life, the unseen damage to their DNA could be passed on to their progeny, passed on to their children, and in the process cause illnesses for many generations. And think about the fact that even if a mother, as this research shows, has never used cannabis in her life, the mutations passed on by a father's sperm can cause serious and fatal illnesses in their children. And mutations can lie dormant and, as I said, affect generations down the track. It's an alarming consequence. So there are serious implications for fetal development. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. And yet we are legalizing marijuana, not only just for medical use. And there may be some warrant for medical use in controlled environments. But there certainly is no good reason for anyone thinking clearly to suggest that eating pot or smoking pot is like having a glass of wine. It is not. And research is just starting to open Pandora's box. And there are some grisly consequences in that box. So, you know, just because it's being legalized in America, don't fall for it. There are all kinds of wacky things that are being mandated by law and by edicts in our country today that are severely detrimental. And in some sense, we can say, if we don't watch it, America will not just be going to pot, but will have gone to pot. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up today is David. He's listening in Fresno, California, KCIV. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going, Hank? I had a question in regards to prayer. What was your thought on believers making a distinction when they pray, like they would pray specifically to the Holy Spirit? Like to the Holy Trinity, or to the Holy Spirit, or to God the Father, or to Jesus, God's Son, like they would specifically say, like, I worship you, Holy Spirit, and then they would pray to that, and then they would, worship Jesus, or worship the Holy Trinity. I was just wondering, what was your thoughts on that, as far as the believers praying like that?
Yeah, we worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we can pray to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he taught us a pattern of prayer. But by no means are we limited to praying to the Father. We have to recognize that there are three whos in the Godhead. There are subject-object distinctions. So just as Jesus prayed to the Father, we are called to pray to the Father, but we can most certainly address Jesus Christ and thank him for the way in which he is governing our lives, for sending us the Holy Spirit. We can thank the Holy Spirit for his precious power and presence in our lives. So we can address legitimately, based on Scripture, each person of the Godhead. But again, there's a pattern to prayer, and I follow that pattern to prayer. But I also pray, glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit now and forever, and to the ages of ages.
All right. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jake next He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you to everyone at the CRI team doing such great work for the Lord. It's very much appreciated, and I'm sure it's very blessed. So, thank you. My question today is about the letter mentioned in the book of Colossians by Paul to the Laodiceans. And I was wondering if that letter mentioned has ever been discovered, or for that matter, has any extra biblical letters written by any of the apostles ever been found and read?
Well, no, it has not been, but here's the point with that letter. First of all, you have to recognize that not everything that Paul wrote or said was written or said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Paul said many things that we would not consider to be canonical. Now, I'm sure that he was very contrite and very consistent in his writing and his speaking, because his letters demonstrate that kind of contrition and competence. But I don't think that we have to assume that everything that he wrote was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And many people that have thought about this letter to the Laodiceans have thought that this letter most likely, and there's a context for this, is actually a parallel way of talking about a letter to the Ephesians, which of course was Paul's divinest composition under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's neatly divided between doctrine and deeds, the first three chapters on doctrine, the next three on the application of that doctrine. So it may very well be that that letter is the letter to the Ephesians in reality.
Okay. And so all the letters that we have for any of the apostles are all found in the Bible. Are there any, like I said, is there any extra biblical recordings of any of the apostles that we have today?
No, we have everything that is necessary in the canon for faith and practice, and we're told that by the apostles themselves within the context of Scripture.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. If you want further information, I wrote on this subject quite extensively in a book called Has God Spoken? That book available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Melvin in Irving, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
My question to you is regarding regeneration and salvation. I know or believe that regeneration is the act of being born again, and salvation to me is deliverance from sin and the power and penalty of sin. But I wanted to know from you, is there really a difference, or can they both be considered the same thing?
Wow, I can hardly hear what you're saying, but I think I got the gist of it. You're asking about regeneration, I think, and salvation. Let me answer that question. The idea of regeneration has to do with new birth, or the process in which a person repents and accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and therefore is born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that process, we are restored to a right relationship with the Father through the sacrifice of the Son and through the work of the Holy Spirit, very much like what I was talking about when I was talking about how we can pray to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Regeneration, biblically, is the beginning of the Christian life, and then we go through a process called sanctification, where we're daily being conformed to the image of Christ, and one day we're going to be glorified, and then we will be, in practice, what we are now only in position. So we are being saved, as it were, as we're being sanctified, and one day will be glorified. We will be what we were meant to be before sin entered the world, and that is those who have the restored imago Dei, the restoration of the image of God within us, so that we can fully enjoy the very one to whom we have consecrated our lives. So it is ultimately going to result, regeneration, that is, in the restoration of the image of God in humanity. And we are going to live in a renewed universe, in resurrected bodies as forever. We explore the one who regenerates us and sanctifies us and one day will glorify us. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can make a donation to the ministry this month, it would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We have a couple of resources available for those that give this month. Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design by Thomas Woodward. It's a classic published by the Christian Research Institute. The Creation Answer Book by yours truly, or The Farce of Evolution, which is a 4x6 laminated flip chart where I use the acronym FARCE so that you can demonstrate how the evolutionary paradigm simply does not comport well with reality in an age of scientific enlightenment. All of that for those that support the ministry, equip.org. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff says, how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you believe you are a function of undirected, purposeless processes, you will live by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God. Origins is the key apologetics issue of our time. Receive the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff as our thank you for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. In China, we can criticize Darwin, but not the government. In America, you can criticize the government, but not Darwin. That's the sobering quip from paleontologist Zhenyuan Chen, contrasting the academic freedoms of China and the United States. It shows how the atheistic religion of philosophical naturalism, with its Darwinian evolutionary origins myth, has an iron grip on countless professors and educators in the U.S. Receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward, or the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The willingness of our Lord's original disciples to suffer and die for their faith is one of the most commonly cited lines of argument for the resurrection. But how do we really know that they were killed for their testimony about Jesus Christ? Other topics include digital souls. What should Christians believe about artificial intelligence? How to read historical narrative? Developing an agile apologetic? Human flourishing and the myth of religious neutrality, and much more.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
According to biologist Michael Denton, Charles Darwin's general theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis, entirely without direct factual support, and very far from that self-evident axiom some of its more aggressive advocates would have us believe. And increasing numbers of evolutionary biologists are now saying that our whole fundamental view of biology needs to change. Receive the book, Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement, as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Also, for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send you a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member or a friend. I'll personalize it for you. And again, you can find out about this on the web at equip.org/donate. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Crystal next, listening in Kansas City, Kansas, Bot Radio. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Hank. I just want to get a clarify what you meant by saying that not all the epistles or all the letters are inspired by the Holy Spirit from the question you answered earlier.
Sure, yeah. I was asked a question earlier about an epistle that's talked about in Colossians 4:16. And what the text says is that when that epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So the idea here is that there's an epistle to the Laodiceans, of course, that is not found in the Bible. So the question was, what happens if we find that? And what I said to the caller is that not everything that Paul wrote is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit such that it is canonical. And it may very well be that the letter to the Laodiceans falls in that category, and that's why we do not find it in the Bible. But I also pointed out that it may very well be that this letter, because of the proximity of Ephesus to Laodicea, it may be the same as the letter that we already have in the Bible, which is the letter to the Ephesians. And in that sense, obviously, it is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is, as some have said, the divinest composition of humankind inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. By the way, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom. He's listening in High Ridge, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank.
How are you?
Hey, I think I'm going through the same things your parents went through. How did your parents handle your atheism?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I asked a lot of questions, not only of my parents, but also of the Christian school I went to, and I didn't get satisfactory answers, and that's one of the reasons that in my ministry I've become so focused on apologetics, because apologetics can be pre-evangelism. They can be the handmaiden, as it were, to evangelism, because in answering questions, particularly questions about origins, those answers can become springboards or opportunities to share the goodness and the grace that God gives us through the gospel. So I quite frankly, walked away from the faith because I didn't think that there were legitimate answers. I was maybe like those who pick up a copy of The God Delusion, read it, and buy into the faulty arguments without realizing that the arguments are faulty. Well, over the years, I became more and more resigned to the idea that there is no God. And it wasn't until three people from a church knocked on my door. They had intended to knock on my neighbor's door in 1979, and they started sharing the gospel. I asked them questions. They didn't know how to answer the questions, and so they invited me to go to a creation evolution seminar, and the issue of origins was discussed there. And that birthed in me a new desire to take a second look, because I saw that they were presenting some real solid evidence. I wanted to see if that evidence would hold up under scrutiny. So I began to look at the issue of origins, and that's why I say today how one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. And so I, after looking at the evidence, not only did I find out that the evidence pointed to the reality of a creator, very, very clearly, in fact, but also that that creator had condescended to cloak himself in human flesh and demonstrate that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection. And then the next thing I did has to do with a little bit of what we're talking on the broadcast today, and that is I began looking for evidence that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Now, as to your specific question, how did my parents deal with it? I don't think my parents dealt with it all that well, because their focus was not apologetics at that time. And again, this is one of the reasons that I have such a great stress on apologetics, because parents like you dealing with this kind of circumstance need to be able to put quality products into your children's hands, or be able to answer the questions that they're asking. Because so often what will happen if you don't have answers, they'll assume, like I did, that there are no answers.
So did your parents ever see you coming to know the Lord then, or did they die not knowing?
No. Well, my mom's still alive. She's going to be 91 this year. And my dad died in 1997, but I came to faith in Christ in 1979. So, yes, he knew that I became a believer, and we had great discussions about apologetics, biblical literacy, countering cults, and world religions for many years after I became a believer. In many ways, even though I was close to my parents, though I had left the faith, there was a sense of bonding and commonality that happened, which really strengthened our relationship. Again, it was strong before, but really strengthened our relationship as a result of my coming to faith in Christ.
Well, I appreciate it. You could keep me and my family in your prayers. I appreciate it.
Sure. And, you know, I think that one of the beautiful things that you can say to a child, something that everyone can understand, is when you look at the universe, you intuitively know that there has to be a universe maker. We're in the basketball playoff season right now. Last night I stayed up really late watching Golden State Warriors, and they got trounced by the Oklahoma Thunder. But at any rate, Stephen Curry is a good friend of ours, and so I stayed up late and watched the game. He had an off night last night, quite frankly, but I still think they'll probably come back. But, you know, when you see a basketball, you immediately know that there's a basketball maker. And when you see the universe, you intuitively know someone had to make that universe. The universe is complex, to say the least. And so this is the kind of common sense thing that you can point your children to. And what Paul says in Romans chapter 2 is not only do we have an outward light, but we have an inner light. That inner light lets us know, it's a knowledge written in our DNA, as it were, that there is a God to whom we are accountable. So not only is there an outer light, there's an inner light. But why don't we respond to the inner light? Well, I can tell you in my case, looking back at it with 20/20 hindsight, oftentimes I think the problem was moral rather than intellectual. In other words, we do not want to live within the parameters that God sets forth for us to live within, so the easy thing to do is to rationalize them out of existence. So we have the light of creation, we have the light of conscience, and if we respond to that, we can have the light of Christ. I've said this before, but it actually bears repeating, particularly in the circumstance that you're dealing with. We should be heartened to know that God dwells in enough illuminated light that if we want to find him, we will, but he also dwells in enough obscurity so that if we do not want to find him, we won't. The one thing for certain is we will have no excuse because God puts us in precise places so that we can find him. And this is precisely what the Apostle Paul makes clear in the book of Acts when he's on Mars Hill. He says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. If you think of the implications of atheism, and this is one of the things that really caused me to come to my senses. You think about the implications of atheism, the implication is that your life is fatalistically determined. You have no free will. You are simply moved along by molecules in motion. You are determined by your brain chemistry and genetics, and that is a woeful idea to consider. The liberating view in Christianity is that what we do really does matter. So we have an opportunity to respond to the God who dwells in light. We also have an opportunity to reject that God. And if we respond to that God, we also have the free will to work towards laying up, as Jesus said, treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So one of the great things that I learned in coming to faith in Christ and abandoning atheism is that I now can work for those things that really matter, not just for mean earthly vanities, but for eternal verities. Now, your job as a father is simply to be equipped. And oftentimes it will not be you as a father that ends up talking about these things, although maybe you'll have the opportunity. But I find through life experience that oftentimes God uses other people. So what's the role of a father or a mother then? It is to pray that God brings people and circumstances into the path of your children so that they may come to a true valuation of things.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. And of course, I talked about many of the resources that we have available that deal with precisely this issue. It's one of the reasons I wrote the Creation Answer Book, available for those who support the ministry all this month. And it's also one of the reasons that we republished Doubts About Darwin. This is an absolutely fantastic resource. One thing that we know is that the cultural stakes are very, very high. And in the Darwinian design debate, the debaters are contending over the fundamental cultural story of humankind, and those who succeed at crafting and telling the most convincing story of origins hold in their hands supreme cultural authority. And if you think of where that cultural authority is taking us today, it is draconian to say the least. So if any group, religious or scientific, gains the authority to present its own story as uniquely true and to label other stories as mythological, that group functions as the high priest of our time. And that's what philosophical naturalists are. They are the high priests of our time. Again, it's one of the reasons Doubts About Darwin is available for those who support the ministry all this month. Also, my acronym, The Farce of Evolution, it's a flip chart. Check it out on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers.
According to Richard Dawkins, Darwin made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Yet deep in the halls of scientific academia, a debate has been quietly raging between Darwinian macroevolution and the theory of intelligent design. Find out why in Doubts About Darwin, a history of the intelligent design movement by Thomas Woodward.
Receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are many different views of the good life, the kind of life that enables human beings to achieve their full potential. Should a secular state support only those views that are non-religious? Or might it be that all such views, when considered more deeply, are religious in nature? Other topics include, did the apostles really die as martyrs for their faith? Rape and sexual violence on campus? What should Christians believe about artificial intelligence? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Did you know that neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis entirely without factual support? It is certainly not a self-evident axiom. However, philosophical naturalists have an iron grip on Western scientists who indoctrinate millions of students in universities and college campuses with this scientific religion. To equip you in this battle for truth, receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design by Thomas Woodward, or The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The best-known evolutionist in the world, Richard Dawkins, claims those who do not believe in evolution are ignorant, stupid, or insane. But as Thomas Woodward shows in his book Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement, rather than brandishing emotional stereotypes, intelligent design proponents wield reason and empirical science, and unlike many evolutionary theorists, actually follow the scientific evidence wherever it leads. Receive the book Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone calls. Next up, Lois, listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about, I've heard you mention numerous times that we have an inner knowledge that there is a God, even those who have never heard before. And I Anne Grandmont, I believe it was her, who told the story about being in a foreign country to give a talk to a group of ladies, and they went where there were no roads, and women had walked for days to the place, and many people accepted Christ. And leaving, there was a lady sitting by the path that was crying, and she stopped to talk to her, and the lady said, I have worshipped him all my life. I just didn't know his name.
Yeah.
I really do believe that we have an inner knowledge of God. Whether we choose to accept him or not is our choice, but I believe that every person has that inner knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. That is precisely what Romans chapter 2 tells us, that the requirements of the law are written on your heart, and therefore your conscience also bears witness, and your thoughts now accuse or defend you. So there's a sense in which the scripture makes plain that God has given us a knowledge of himself, and therefore Paul could say, as I quoted earlier, that from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So no matter where we are, we have an outer light and we have an inner light. And if we respond to that light, we will receive more light. I also think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 when he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. How? Well, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, Paul says, have been clearly seen being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse.
Yes. I just think that's a reason to rejoice.
It is a reason to rejoice, absolutely. And it's also a reason to recognize how accountable we are. We cannot stand in the presence of God in the greatest size and say, God, I had no idea. Because God does give us light. If we respond to the light, he'll give us more light. It's not the absence of light that damns. It is the despising of light that ultimately damns.
Well, I appreciate you so much. I listen to you every day on the way home from work, and really appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Josiah next, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question that kind of deals with the transgender issue. You know, you see it in the news a lot. And I was just wondering, if a person is chooses to be transgender, they get all the surgeries and the hormones and then come to faith after that, what are their options for, what are they supposed to do after that if they've already kind of had those irreversible surgeries and things done as far as repentance?
Sure. If it is irreversible, it is irreversible. But this is the beauty in God's grace and goodness. He restores the years that the locusts have eaten, and he can use even this circumstance, and maybe most particularly the circumstance in this culture, for his good and for his glory. So what you do is you say, I'm now a follower of Jesus Christ, and I will do all that I can to live in accordance with the precepts and the principles of the kingdom. There are some ways in which we can say Humpty Dumpty can't be put back together again, in the sense that there are certain, as you said, irreversible things that we do to ourselves. And if that is the case, these things still are irreversible, but that does not mean that we cannot live by the principles and the precepts of the kingdom. Of course we can, and the king accepts us as we are, broken, flawed vessels that he uses for his glory. And that's the wonderful thing, that God uses broken vessels. He doesn't use us because of our ability. He uses us in spite sometimes of our liabilities.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I mean, I just didn't know if they were to try to go back to their former gender or if they
should. Well, I think you should live in accordance with your biological gender. And I think the fact that you made a mistake or sinned greatly, whatever you want to place that on in the spectrum of sin, the fact that that has happened does not mean that God cannot restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Sometimes when you do real damage to yourself, it takes tremendous amount of counseling. We actually have, interestingly enough, a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. And that very subject, that very situation, is dealt with in detail in the form of an anecdote that Joe Dallas tells. He is a counselor in this area, and he gives an example of exactly what you're talking about and then brings this whole situation to resolution in the anecdote. Again, the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, in which you can find that, has a cover story that says "Responding Like Christ to Transsexuals" on the cover.
Okay, awesome. Well, I appreciate your time and for clearing that up for me.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeff next, listening in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, so my question, I was born in a Lutheran family, you know, baptized, you know, as a very young child, and I'm recently now a Southern Baptist, and I was baptized again to be a member of the church. The question is, you know, which is more biblical, you know, infant baptism or believer's baptism? Everything that I can see from reading the Bible is, I mean, they use a reference of all in certain passages for the whole family, but, you know, adults, you must first believe and then be baptized is kind of what I'm seeing more of. So if you could maybe clear that up for me, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I don't know that I can clear that up for you. This has been a debate throughout church history. There are many in the church, and this was the view of the early Christian church that infants are to be baptized, not in the sense of baptismal regeneration, but in the sense of dedication. You've come under special sanctification as someone who is born into a family that is belief-oriented, belief in God. And now you have to then, as one being baptized, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which is to say that the baptism doesn't regenerate you because you are continually being saved. Now, there are always those that say, no, that's not right, and that's why there's such a debate in the church. There's a debate between Lutherans and Catholics and Orthodox and between Baptists on this very issue. And this is an ongoing debate. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over it, but it's a debate. And I think you need to look very clearly at what the Bible says in this regard. So we're testing what people say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. You look, for example, at someone like a Spurgeon or a Billy Graham. They are very clearly saying that a person has to be baptized as an adult. But on the other hand, you have people who reject that point of view. You think about an R.C. Sproul, who argues that those who dispute the validity of infant baptism make the new covenant less inclusive than the old covenant with respect to children, despite the absence of any biblical prohibition against infant baptism. Now, the counter is that this is correct if you're contending that there's no biblical prohibition against infant baptism. However, what is happening here is the equation of the New Covenant's baptism with the Old Covenant circumcision. And we should note that there is no clear precedent either, and that's why this is debated. Where the Bible speaks clearly, the faith of those who are baptized is what you find emphasized, and I think that's what you allude to as you pose the question.
Right. It's just an ongoing kind of debate within the family. I have a Lutheran pastor as a brother-in-law, and it's a debate. I see more evidence.
We're kind of cutting out, but I caught a little bit of what you said. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to your call. If you're dialing in for right now and for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. I'll be taking your calls for the next hour. Once we sign off today, I'll record my answers to your questions and play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. Also want to mention that tomorrow we have a very special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Joe Dallas. So much is being said about transsexualism today. And you start to read newspaper articles, and after a while, your head is spinning. And so we thought it's important to bring some clarity and perspective to this issue. And there's no one quite like Joe Dallas to do that. And the reason we're bringing Joe on is Joe wrote a special cover story for the upcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal, and hopefully this will stimulate many of you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, as just mentioned, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, be patient. And for those that haven't yet dialed, you can start dialing in your question right now. And for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do make a difference. And we need people just like you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To understand the public battle over evolution, you must read Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The willingness of our Lord's original disciples to suffer and die for their faith is one of the most commonly cited lines of argument for the resurrection. But how do we really know that they were killed for their testimony about Jesus Christ? Other topics include digital souls, what should Christians believe about artificial intelligence, how to read historical narrative, developing an agile apologetic, human flourishing and the myth of religious neutrality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In China, we can criticize Darwin, but not the government. In America, you can criticize the government, but not Darwin.
That's the sobering quip from paleontologist Zhenyuan Chen, contrasting the academic freedoms of China and the United States. It shows how the atheistic religion of philosophical naturalism, with its Darwinian evolutionary origins myth, has an iron grip on countless professors and educators in the U.S. Receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward, or the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.